Before we do that and celebrate gifts for the festive season, let's talk about a more serious aspect of the festive season. Don't know about you, I am in the middle of probably the third in a row of five function weeks. In other words, weeks where there are year-end parties, theatre events, various get-togethers. It is that time of year where everyone tries to celebrate the end of the year, whether it's your own workplace or your customers, your suppliers, your friends wanting to get together. The bottom line is a lot of us are on the road a lot more and celebrating a lot more. And you don't need me to remind you, 14,000 is the number of deaths on South African roads every year. We know a large percentage of those are linked to alcohol. Now, if the prospect of crashing your car or of killing and maiming somebody else on the road isn't enough to make you change your driving habits, maybe the risk of losing your job might be. Today, I want to remind you that just because you've left work, it doesn't mean your behavior on the roads doesn't reflect in any way on your status at work. And to help us understand what I mean by that, on the line is Gavin Stansfield, director in the employment practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, telling us a little bit about the implications for you in the workplace should you be convicted of drunk driving. Gavin, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Pippa. You're welcome.
I know a lot of people will have a sort of a knee-jerk reaction that it happened outside of the workplace, therefore it's none of work's business. But the line isn't as clear-cut as that, is it?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, as a starting point, generally it's accepted that the employer's prerogative to discipline you flows from the contract of employment. And there's the well-known saying that what I do in my private and personal life has nothing to do with my employer. But the question is that always really the case? And specifically in relation to if you are caught behind the wheel of a car and you are arrested for driving under the influence, what are the implications for your potential or potentially for your job? Can it cost you your job? The question there to be answered is to what extent the crime of driving under the influence of alcohol may impact on the employment relationship. And that is a question that is often asked. In cases of ordinary misconduct, Pippa, employers are required to prove on a balance of probabilities in the context of a disciplinary inquiry that you've committed misconduct, and it's normally committed within the context of the workplace. In the case of misconduct which is committed outside of the workplace, and this is what we're talking about, there's an additional requirement for an employer to prove, and that is the extent to which such conduct may impact on the ongoing viability of an employment relationship. And that's really the third factor that an employer needs to consider. And in many cases where perhaps the nature of the employment relationship may be linked in some other way to the nature of the crime, and in this case, if one thinks if you are employed as a driver, is probably the most obvious example, then the fact that you may be caught under the influence of alcohol, albeit in your personal time and not within the course and scope of your duties, that may have an impact. You can understand that there may be a correlation between the nature of the offence which you've been arrested for, not yet convicted, but just arrested, and the extent to which that impacts on your employment relationship. So that's really a question, is to what extent will it impact on the employment relationship?
Now, there's some cases where that will be obvious. If the person is being arrested and going to jail after receiving a sentence, then obviously that has a very fundamental impact on the viability of the working relationship. It's not so clear-cut in the interim, though, Gavin. If somebody is accused of the crime but not yet convicted of the crime, is an employer permitted to do anything in that interim phase?
Yes, you are. I mean, you know, obviously if someone does go to jail, it's a slightly different aspect of the law. There, you know, you are prevented, it's sort of supervening impossibility of performance. There you are physically prevented from rendering services, and you deal with that in a slightly different way than you would deal with the nature of the offence itself. But in the interim period, again, as long as, depending on the nature of the misconduct, and Pippa, one thinks of the easy examples. If you are caught, for example, in any form of credit card fraud, any form of financial misconduct, any form of banking fraud, any of those crimes which have at their heart the element of dishonesty, there you're going to find that that type of crime is going to impact on the vast majority of employment relationships, especially employment relationships where people are employed in a position of trust, and you are going to say that there's an obvious connection or correlation between the nature of that type of offence and what you are required to do on a day-to-day basis for your employer. Drunken driving is a slightly different one. It's not really a crime of dishonesty. It depends, of course, if there are extenuating circumstances. Maybe you try to avoid a roadblock, which is a crime in itself. Maybe you try to evade arrest, all those sorts of things. There may be extenuating circumstances, but the crime in itself is not generally regarded as a crime of dishonesty. And therefore, as I said, there needs to be some other correlation to what it is that you do. Insofar as dealing with the interim period, if you can establish that correlation as an employer, then most certainly the criminal aspect will run completely separately. How the state chooses to deal with the crime is up to the state. It can take many years, of course, for the state to prosecute you for such a crime. The employer is under no obligation to await the outcome. If you can, as I've said, if you can establish that impact on the employment relationship, presumably you will act quickly and you will do so within a matter of days or weeks, in the course of a disciplinary inquiry.
One final question, Gavin. Is it possible for an employer to write something into the terms of a contract? If, for example, you say, we as Cape Talk take a policy of zero tolerance for drunk driving, it reflects badly on our brand. If you are arrested for that crime, therefore, we will not accept any, we won't allow any sort of leeway in such cases. Can that be written into a contract prior to somebody starting employment with you?
Yeah, yes, you can. You can write anything into your contract. The question is going to be how enforceable is that at the time of you wanting to enforce it. So you can write it into your contract. Insofar as its enforceability is concerned, I think you've come up with a great example, and that's people working for a very public service provider such as a radio station. And, of course, I know, presenters in Cape Talk are on it all the time, encouraging people not to break the law. And in particular, I think you did it yourself in terms of the intro, to act responsibly when it comes to this type of thing. And of course, it's going to set a very bad example and create a very negative public perception if one of your employees are in fact arrested for the self same crime. So good example that you raise. And I think your employer, if they had such a clause in the contract, would probably come a lot closer to being able to enforce that legitimately and lawfully than maybe in other sort of more private working spaces. But yes, you can. And I think if the employer establishes that as a rule, and they say, we're a very public broadcasting space and we aim to set the example to the public and people who call in, and we are going to seek to uphold that rule as long as it's properly implemented and communicated, I think you would stand quite a good chance of successfully upholding or implementing that rule.
Gavin Stansfield, I'll certainly keep that in mind this festive season. I hope my colleagues do as well, and everybody else. Gavin's director in employment practice at legal firm Cliff Decker Hofmeyer. As I said at the start, one would like to think that the knowledge of the risk you pose to other people on the road is enough to stop you from getting behind the wheel when you've had one too many. But if it's not, then by all means, let it be the selfish reason of risking your own job that stops you from doing it.